Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of Jujutsu Kaisen. So this is episode 5, titled Premature Death. We get the end, basically, of this flashback into Geto and Gojo. Before we discuss all of that, classic Bingetown housekeeping, we have surpassed 400 episodes. If you have found us on the Jujutsu Kaisen feed only, that might shock you because there's only been however many episodes of Jujutsu Kaisen. That is because Bingetown TV is a podcast that does way more than just this, way more than anime. We've been covering, 70 plus shows at this point. We have a main feed, which is just Bingetown TV. So that's going to be every show we cover. We just wrapped up The Witcher, Secret Invasion, Cruel Summer, Silo. One Piece is coming down the pike at the end of the month. Wheel of Time is coming at the beginning of September. So we've been doing this for 3 years. We're going to keep doing it for probably three more. Who knows how much longer after that. So if you want to support us, the best way is to probably subscribe on whatever you're listening on right now or watching on, and then go to the Bingetown main feed, subscribe to that too. You'll just get notified of all of the shows that we cover. Then social medias for us is just at Bingetown TV on pretty much everything. And then Discord. We have a Discord that has been kind of growing steadily over the past few weeks. So if you want to just talk with us outside of maybe just comments in like YouTube on or just like tweeting at us, Discord's the best way to do that. We can just chat. You can chat with other people as well. It's not just us. So there will probably be a link in the description of this episode, or if you just follow us on Twitter, the link is in our bio on Twitter. Okay, now back to the fun stuff. So episode 5, Premature Death, very big Geto episode. And just funnily enough, I started watching the first episode and was like, okay, yeah, like we're getting this again. And then I was like, wait a second, this is the first episode. So then I started watching this episode and they do the first episode like discussion, talk and scenes again. And I was like, okay, this tripped me out a little bit. But
nobody knows what they taste like and stuff.
Yeah, so a very big philosophical episode for Geto. There's really no like juicy buckets to discuss things. So we'll probably just take things kind of chronologically, I would say. First thing we could talk about is just like the beginning of the episode, just Gojo upgrading his power, the results of his training, etc. It's just fun to see that, I guess.
Oh, absolutely love this. I was telling Alki last night when I came back. I came back home. We were talking about the episode just very briefly, and I was just like, I don't care. I am such a Gojo stan. I just fit the easy trope of like everyone else that follows the show. Like I just love this man so fucking much. It's just so cool how he just casually is like, yeah, I've already mastered, you know, red, blue, I can teleport basically, and I have the ability to unconsciously identify danger and what's not dangerous. So like when they throw the pencil and the eraser at him, only the eraser goes through, the pencil stops. Like, and then he has his like spiel about how he uses his, what's it called, the energy that they use,
just the cursed energy
to just like kind of keep his brain fresh so it never fries out. Like it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, the reverse technique is ridiculous.
And he's only in high school.
That was
still
the part that blew my mind.
He is just, I cannot get enough of Gojo, and I know that just might be very basic, but I don't care. He's the best.
He's pretty much made to be that way, so you know, obviously you're not alone in thinking that. So.
And it's obviously sweet that Geto already has recognized like he is the strongest, and they're in their second year now, I think it is, or maybe it's their final year, I can't remember, but
I believe it's kind of like the summer, they're moving into their third year technically.
Yeah, he is just the absolute best. I love him.
Yeah, and we get basically, this is the beginning of Geto kind of, we're seeing those cracks start to form. He begins to question a little bit of his role as a sorcerer. And I think the next step is just kind of moving into, we get reintroduced to Yuki Tsukomo. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. We saw her in season 1 in a Toto's flashback. because that's the kind of like the sorcerer that pretty much like trains him up, or kind of first finds him rather on like that the riverbank.
She honestly didn't remember her.
Yeah, she just asked the classic question, like, what's your type or whatever, you know, what kind of girl are you into?
That makes so much sense now, because that's his thing. Okay.
Yep, exactly. So
that's cool.
Him and her, Geto, this is, and Yuki just have a very interesting conversation that obviously is, you know, monumental in his life that she's so like kind of cavalierly kind of saying things that he's kind of been thinking and almost like hating himself for thinking in some sense. So this conversation I thought was just very interesting.
She's so like chaotic neutral. And it's interesting to see that point of view. She recognizes his thought process of like wiping out all non-sorcerers as practical. You know, she's like, it's kind of a good idea, but you know,
not entirely doable in the moment.
Yeah, it's not entirely possible. And it's crazy that she considers it, but she like hovers that line so closely. We know that in modern times, she's not like full-fledged good, but she's not evil either. She clearly trains Toto. So we know that she's like, she's got some good in her. It was just interesting to see that kind of seed get watered by her in Geto's mind. And I also like Geto's like design in this episode. I think he looks pretty cool. Just
how he's like like the bags under the eyes, and he's just
He's like hair's long. He's got like this baggy messy fit.
I like the look too. Cool. I agree. But this conversation I think was very interesting, and I just wonder, you know, she probably was just there at the right time. Like I wonder if maybe, you know, if the principal had showed up in that moment, you know, would Geto have maybe considered maybe the righteousness a little bit more, because she was, like you guys have said, a little bit more chaotic. Again, she's not entirely evil. We've seen her fight for the side of good, but her mindset kind of emphasized a little bit maybe too much in Geto's mind what he was already thinking. So I'm curious, like he was in a moment of weakness here, and I'm curious if what would have happened if Gojo showed up here and had this heart to heart to him rather than this woman. So it is cool. And I just like how Geto ends up going down that, you know, quote unquote wrong path. You know, this very ethical dilemma, especially later on when we get to the moment that sends him over the edge. But this scene was great.
Yeah. And we've kind of been wondering we've seen him in the past and he's kind, and we've talked about how, you know, him and Gojo at the start of the season felt like they were in completely opposite places than like the way that we were introduced to them, the way we knew them. And this is pretty much kind of like the episode where it basically flips completely. She just kind of lays it out that there's only two options to create a world where cursed spirits don't exist. That kind of is her goal. I like her when she kind of says that, like, Jujutsu High and kind of like pretty much the whole Jujutsu world, they only treat symptoms, not like the actual causes. Like they're just exterminators. They don't actually try to make any meaningful change. I just like that. That's kind of like the baseline of her character. I just think that that's like super interesting. And she's just a funny character to me too. And also I'm like, you know, I the biggest Toto fan ever. So she also has, you know, a higher level of respect in my eyes, cause that's my fucking boy.
Yeah.
She's also sick. Like her power is pretty sick. As she unravels in the story.
Yeah, and she does throw some respect onto Toji's name as well, because she kind of says that basically when she breaks it down, there's two ways to make a world with no cursed energy. The first one is to eliminate cursed energy. She talks about how he was basically the prime example of that. He was almost like, you know, pretty much like a perfect example, perfect specimen. She literally calls him superhuman, which we kind of already knew about, but she does throw Geto like, hey, it's not that bad that you lost to him, because he's
she was saying, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I wanted to bring up the heavenly restriction. He was a perfect case of that, and we were deliberating about what exactly that meant. So it's nice that they clarified how his was the extreme case that worked so perfectly that made him the way he was. And it's pretty sweet that he had no curse energy. That means he detected curses with his senses completely, which is like something that is against the laws of the world as we've known it up until his character was introduced. Yeah. You know, I honestly, in retrospect, I think the fight in the manga was better. I feel like he was in and out so quick in the anime, yep. It was a little bit bittersweet. You know, as it settled in, I think that they could have, I don't know, played him out a little better. But it is what it is. And she was really nice in shedding light on his like backstory a little bit. And it tied in nicely at the end of the episode when Gojo met Fushiguro.
Yeah.
You know, I'm jumping ahead, but
you know, I could easily use more Toji in my life, but
yeah,
I would always good. Vouch for that. Yeah, maybe a so Toji spinoff show. That would be exactly what I would want.
So we're getting Geto. He's questioning in his mind. Now he's getting some level of external validation that his thoughts aren't, you know, completely, maybe not. I mean, she does say it's crazy to kill all non-sorcerers, but I mean, there's other people in the world that are thinking along the lines that he's thinking. I feel like that gives him a little more potentially confidence in it. The next thing that happens is, you know, his classmate or his kind of his little youngling. I forget his name, and I'm so sorry.
Ibarra,
I'm
forgetting his name. Ibarra or something like that.
There you go. Exactly. He ends up dying on a mission with, I believe, I don't know if Nanami was there, but he was kind of Nanami and him were friends. Basically, it was a misclassified cursed spirit. He's dead, and Geto again is now thinking like, you know, the only outcome of being a jujitsu sorcerer is a mountain of my comrades' corpses. So just another event that's piling on top of him. And then kind of all boils over when he gets a job, which is he's going to a village that had cursed spirits there, obviously. He exterminates them, and he's getting so upset that these non-sorcerers, because I guess they couldn't see the cursed spirits, so they didn't really know what was going on. But these two little girls who clearly are sorcerers, they could see them, and they, I guess the villagers, whatever, thought that they were it. So they were calling them monsters, and that kind of tipped him over the edge of like having these non-sorcerers be so mean to sorcerers. And that kind of, you know, he flips.
And they were
switch.
A little battered up, so I guess that implies they abused them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it's like physically. This scene obviously makes it so like, we understand Geto's drive. We understand what really made him what he is today. And, you know, like obviously killing an entire village is wrong, but he wasn't, I guess, entirely in the wrong of like wanting to actually like, you know, do something about it and like saving the girls. Like that part of it was, you know, righteous and everything. But the fact that he killed 130 people who I don't know if they all thought like those two specific people did, but you know, I can at least understand the anger and rage that is coming from Geto here. And I just those are the two girls that I'm assuming are like in the present with him, like the ones that are always on the phone, which again, that I think is really cool that we, you know, they get tied in even later on and
yep.
are still a major part. It's a whole moral dilemma. And I mean, it's just really cool just getting that side of Geto and just understanding that, you know, if he's not just, you know, pure evil, he does in his mind have some righteousness to him.
And we were like somewhat introduced. We know essentially that this happened at some point, mm-hmm. but getting to see it, like you're saying, and getting kind of his perspective on it, I think obviously adds like a whole nother dimension to his
Gojo's character. Reaction to it was like incredible too. I thought yeah. like, if we want to get into
yeah.
it, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now.
I mean, we're right here. I mean, it's crazy. He ends up killing his parents, too. It wasn't like, it wasn't a one-off in the village. Like, he went to his hometown and did the same exact thing. So clearly, it was more than just like a one-off, like, emotional moment.
I think, I don't know, in this portrayal through the anime, I felt like Geto's villain origin story was kind of shallow. I have to be honest. I thought it was a little weak. Like, with the tone of the episode, with him started the episode explaining how Geto's the strongest now, in my opinion, I felt there was a tone of jealousy, a tone of spitefulness. They ended the episode with him saying, oh, don't say it's impossible when it's possible for you. So it's like, okay, I feel like he does have these thoughts of disdain for non-sorcerers, but also they're fueled by his inability to match Gojo. And I just feel like it's a little bit immature, you know, because we've seen him be smart and level-headed and cognitive, logical. And I just, I guess I didn't pick it up this way when I read it.
I just wonder if maybe like him consuming the like all those things. Like,
he
I think
he's mentally worn out too. I feel like he's, like you're saying, yeah, Dave, like, his power. And they brought it literally up again, word for word, the same thing of like, no one knows what it's like. So I feel like he felt alone. Now he feels more alone. And I feel like that isolation obviously just pushes him more and more towards this.
And then you've seen those girls who were, you know, also isolated and like.
I do agree, though, the times of jealousy. I mean, he obviously, you know, he has an ideal about the world. And if he could, he would like to be able to, you know, realize it and do everything he can. And it would be much easier if he had Gojo's power to do so.
I can see
all I'm saying is, like, at the beginning of the flashback, I was like liking Geto, and I actually expressed that on this podcast. But now I'm just like, oh, this I'm totally against him, and I recognize him as the villain of this arc or story, however you want to go with that.
Yeah, and I mean, Shoko does say to him, he meets up with her in public after kind of we find out that he's been sent to death. The principal and Gojo have that talk, and then. Him, Geto and Shoko meet up in public, and she tells him that it's childish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I actually like that interaction a lot. She's like, "Oh, what's up? Oh,
yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah, yeah." It's like, "Oh, no, it's the criminal."
Yeah. And then she's like, "Oh, Gojo, by the way, I'm here with him. He's in Shibuya." Gojo's like, I guess, says, "Yo, engage him," and she's like, "I'm not gonna do that. He crazy."
Yeah. It was funny seeing her reaction with him, and then like, because immediately beforehand we get Gojo's reaction, who was like completely stunned by the events. I mean, that kind of shows how kind of honestly self-centered Gojo is. I mean, I'll talk a little shit on my boy here for a second. Just like, he obviously was spending a lot of his time like focusing so much on training, doing these missions, becoming the strongest person alive. And he never reached out to his friend who, you know, was clearly going through some shit and wasn't really being a good friend in general, and could have easily had reached out when he, like, just in any moments and just said, you know, how are you holding up? Like,
exactly.
I know, like, you just witnessed, you know, the Star Plasma Vessel get shot right in front of you. Like, you were going through some shit, like, how are you holding up? And he never did that. So that kind of shows Gojo's self-centeredness. But I also feel like because he saw Geto go down this road, he now understands more so that he was selfish. Like, when he's reflecting on, like, when he's talking to the principal or whoever it is, I think
it's the principal, yeah.
Yeah, and he's kind of, he's talking, he's like, I want to help, like, I want to be a good, like, I want to be a better person, Jay, basically, in general. And I think Gojo, like, Geto going evil obviously paved the path for Gojo to become less mature. It sucks that it's at the cost of losing a friend, but he was definitely self-centered before that.
You mentioned earlier, like, oh, if it wasn't, what's her name? Yuki, right?
Yes.
It was like, oh, maybe if Gojo had that conversation with Geto, it could have went a different way. Gojo was not deep enough to have this conversation with Geto. You know, he would have never been capable of even providing that, like, guidance or insight that Geto needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and now, unfortunately, this situation and event has given Gojo that depth that he needs to become the Gojo we know in modern times. And he says it. He's like, it's, you know, it's like, it's not enough just to be strong. There's also, some people just don't want to be saved, essentially, in more or less words. He said something like that.
Yeah.
And I think
that's
my
favorite line of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he, from there, that's when you see him become the sensei that was like the first domino in his path.
Yeah.
You know, Geto's path has been laid out. He laid it out himself. And now Gojo's is paved as well. And I mean, and now you see the story unfold with the end of the episode with our main trio come back, which got me pretty freaking hype.
It was hype seeing them back together, all smiling, and Gojo's smiling, just remembering, I guess, the good days with Geto and I forgot the girl's name.
Nobara. And,
which Shoko.
No, you're talking about Shoko. Nobara. Okay.
I was going to say, is that not the girl's name?
Yeah, no, you're good. I just, and Aoki, just to even hammer your point home, I feel like the conversation that Gojo and Geto have is like, clearly, like, Geto is a man with conviction. Like, he has a plan on his life. He has made a decision. And Gojo is just kind of being like, hey, man, don't do this type of deal. Like, he doesn't have any level of like conviction or like, no, he doesn't really have any substance of a comeback. It's more of just like,
I just think he doesn't
wrong.
Understand emotions. Like, he's just so into himself again that he just doesn't understand other people's, like, he's just so about like, I'm the strongest, like, I can do whatever I want, I don't really care for other people, in a sense.
I don't even think it's rooted in that much arrogance. I think the guy is just freaking aloof. He's never been truly He's never been truly challenged in his life. In the beginning, he's like, hey, Ghetto, what's the matter? Did you lose weight? And he's like, ah, it's the whatever. And yeah, whatever he said, it's summer heat. And then Gojo could have been like,
Are you sure? Or something?
Like, do you want to talk about something? But instead, he's like, oh, maybe you've been doing this too much or whatever. It just totally brushed him off. And like I said, this event has added that depth. It's a rude awakening, you know, but it's added him. It's gave him that depth that he needed to become like the hero of you know, his era. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just good stuff.
Yeah, I'm.
Their face off in the sidewalk was pretty cool. They were like so far apart, and he's just like walking away. He kind of knew like Gojo's not gonna do anything. Like he challenged him, and he was, I guess, ready to accept his fate of getting demolished by Gojo, but he just knew it wasn't gonna happen. I thought that was kind of badass.
Yeah, I mean, what he says, go ahead and kill me if you want. Like there would be a point to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just nothing. Gojo couldn't do it. But I guess just one last thing we didn't really cover so much is like this is Geto's kind of next steps. He is, you know, alive after the interaction with Gojo, which I'm sure for him is obviously a positive. And he basically pretty much takes over the Time Vessel organization. He kind of commandeers their resources. They're in like a bunker or something like that. And the little girls are with him, like Dave mentioned. And he goes out and is pretty much says like, hey, I'm the fucking boss now. People don't really like it so much. He just kills someone right in front of them on stage and was like, this is how it's going to be. Like, you're literally going to obey me. And then that's obviously the start of kind of the Ghetto that we met in season one. He's wearing like the robes when he meets with the cursed spirits. Like, this is more obviously aligned with our first meetings of him. And he keeps using the words monkey now.
Yeah. And the other important thing to mention as well is that we find out that the Star Plasma vessel is more than likely already been born, if not has been like, it's because it was about like a year since the last episode we opened,
some months at least,
or a few months, several months, whatever, but we do know that the Star Plasma vessel, and I think that'll obviously be important for this new season, because I think whatever that time skip is, like if Megumi was in first grade, he's now in high school, that's definitely almost, I don't, you know, just pulling basic math out of my head, like a little less than 10 years I'm guessing. So the Star Plasma vessel should be around that age, I'm guessing, and so that'll be important, I think.
They did give years, but I don't remember. But all I know now is 2018 and JJK.
Yeah.
And I'm confused by one thing, actually, and I'm embarrassed to admit as a veteran that I don't know the answer to this.
Right, but perfect.
But okay. Toji is Megumi's dad, Fushiguro's dad, and he refers to his sister, Tsumiki, and he said her mom. So are they like biologically not related? Like, I don't, do they share father? I don't know. It was interesting.
When does he mention that I didn't even know he had a, I mean, it makes sense that he would have a sister, but when does he say that again?
He was like, what's going to happen if I go to the Zenin clan? What's going to happen to Tsumiki? Like, will she be happy? And Gojo was like, absolutely not. He's like, okay, then I'm not going with them. And
Gojo talking about Megumi has.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Toji just said, like, for some reason.
He said like her mom, it doesn't matter. Like, we'll do whatever. Her mom's not here. I just thought that was funny. Like, what is her mom?
Might have been a mistranslation or something. I don't
know, because it was the same in the manga.
Okay.
We learn about his mom later.
Does she specifically say my sister when referring to her? I didn't catch that. I feel like he was just talking about like a family who's, I took it as like, it's a family, like just a random family that's kind of adopted him. And he's just referring to them like that because he's not actually part of the family, but I am not sure really.
I may have just been filling in the blanks as someone who knows the story a little better and implied that she's like,
comment sister, down below if you know the answer.
Yeah,
I have an answer right now. It looks like, so yeah, I guess they actually share a dad.
Okay, there you go.
But
Toji just went around just banging.
No, rather this. Toji banged Megumi's mom. She died after giving birth to Megumi. And then he was hooking up with
other moms.
Yeah, the other mom. But she had the daughter from a previous relationship. So they don't have the same dad or the same mom, I guess. They just
they're
kind of like, it was like a step. Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Glad we cleared that up.
Because she's not a curse user. I mean, we'll find out, but.
I'll say little baby Megumi was definitely pretty cute, though, even though he was so like serious.
I love the Gojo. He's just like, are you sure you're a first grader?
Yeah.
It's just funny to watch because it's like, obviously, I feel like sometimes it's easy to forget like the connection that the two of them have, Gojo and Megumi, because obviously like Itadori's our main character and Gojo is like a goofy guy, but like they have a ton of history together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that.
This has confirmed that Megumi's been running with Gojo basically since he was a kid.
Yeah, for like a long
time. He's almost like raised. He's like, he raised Megumi, you know, you could say.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in terms of, especially in terms of like, you know, jujitsu and sorcery. I mean,
for sure.
Pretty much daddy right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we're back in the present time, seemingly, basically. We're kind of, we've wrapped up our flashback. And I'm excited to just hit the ground running in the quote unquote real world, the real timeline, just because the upcoming arc is just fucking awesome. I mean, the fights are going to be fucking banging. It's just
I don't even know what to expect, to be honest. I have no idea what to expect.
I'm just so confident, man, it's going to be awesome.
We're in store for some pretty good fights coming up, man.
They do fights well in this show, and there's a bunch coming up, so I'm very, very excited for.
I don't know if it's going to cover. I think this season will cover this arc, or at least dive into it. Like, this arc that's coming up is like freaking insane.
I can't. Like, I literally,
like,
I can't wait.
I've been game, like end game level, like intensity.
I can't wait. I do genuinely love this show. It's definitely been one of my favorite anime to watch, and I'm excited to keep going with you guys.
It looks like, unfortunately, we're gonna have like a couple recap episodes.
I feel like they do
in,
that.
Like, in the
it is
meantime,
gonna be 24 though, right? It's gonna be 24 episodes.
I think it's gonna be 25. And there's two of them is going to be like recap ones, kind of. And then it'll be episodes 6, technically, through 23 will be what we're talking about, Alk.
I'm happy that... oh, really, Kyle? Nice.
Yeah, it looks like next week is... And I'm sorry to step over you, but is Gojo's past arc and JJK Zero movie recap. And then August 17th's episode is going to be Jujutsu Kaisen Season 1 recap. And then August 31st... is going to be the next arc starts.
So basically, we're on a 3-week break of recording?
Pretty much. There's no need for us to really cover those episodes.
Unless we want to talk about the movie. But
yeah. I mean, we could slide in a little Demon Slayer talking about to watch the fucking finale at some point.
Oh, I guess, yeah. All right, so our next anime recording will definitely cover the whole season of Demon Slayer.
Yeah, because Demon Slayer Season 3 has been insane.
I
told you, man.
It's so good.
So good. All right.
So good.
We'll save that. We'll save that conversation for another time. So that wraps up Jujutsu Kaisen episode 5, Premature Death. We've kind of lost Ghetto down this life of being a racist, essentially, which is
who's
sad
more
to
racist,
see.
Frieza or Ghetto? In the comments, let us know.
Oh my god, that's a tough question.
That is tough. Jesus.
I mean, well, they both have pretty similar goals.
Frieza wiped out an
Frieza
entire
actually
planet.
Wiped them out.
Yeah,
Frieza,
Frieza wiped out an entire planet. If like Ghetto actually were to accomplish his goals, that then we would have a conversation.
Ghetto wishes he was Frieza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least at some part. Okay. So if you like what you heard, if you like what you've been hearing, I would subscribe to us on whatever you've been listening or watching on. Like we said, we'll probably take a couple week hiatus just because the recap episodes feel like it's not really worth it for us to cover them on the podcast. Maybe we'll talk, you know, we'll slide in some Demon Slayer talk, just some anime talk, just to fill kind of that quote unquote dead air, even though what episodes are coming out. And then August 31st is when the new arc starts, so we'll fucking hit the ground running alongside One Piece. Oh my god, dude, it's just, this is what we dreamed of when we started the podcast. It's just trying to do as much anime and manga as possible. So we're trying. We'll see how long it lasts. All right, and yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Thanks for listening.